Well, hi, Brent. Here we are again. Boy, time goes by when you're having fun. And today, actually, we're not talking about fun things because there has been a lot of news out this week about developers in trouble.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of bad news out there. A lot of news. People always jump on the bandwagon and talk about things that are, you know, looking downwards, downward pressure or upward pressure, depending on which way the markets are going.
Well, of course, our news is, you know, bad news sells. I mean, all you have to do is look at the video channels. It's clickbait, you know, crash, boom, bam, you know, that's what gets us as individuals to click on it. So maybe it's partly our lust for bad news. But hey, business in Vancouver, the Vancouver Sun, National Post, and then there's a great little magazine called Stories, which is sort of really focusing on a lot of deals going bad or receiverships. A good read if you're excited about reading that. But the big one was that we had a major collapse, and we're talking about Thind, T-H-I-N-D, who some 1,800 units in Surrey and Richmond. And in Burnaby, actually, the Burnaby property, he just bought it last summer. So apparently there was a $20 million price. So the point is, that's a big bang because the Surrey property had, 1,100 units and 90% were pre-sold. So lots of people affected.
A lot of people affected, Ozzy. And it's interesting you say that because I was looking at some old advertisements yesterday. You know how you've spoken about big discounts and everything else. In one of their ads, they had a $100,000 discount on a project and a big commission to the realtors. So you could tell things were going sideways a little bit when you're offering $100,000 off for an original price.
That's a good point you're making because we keep saying over and over, yes, there are deals out there, but deal with a quality builder. I'm not saying that Mr. Thind wasn't because, we don't really know what happened. But the thing is, he is gone, into receivership. He's being sued by his mortgage company, King Set, but the thing is, it isn't the only one. There were several others were there, and I think what it is, it's the totality of our market. The government hates developers. The government hates builders. The government hates realtors. Really hate investors, you know, and the hammers with a multitude of taxes. Most people don't even know what the heck they are. And then we are surprised, but the climate for builders has been challenging. And Business in Vancouver put it best. He says we had inflation, then a steep jump in the interest rates. You know, I mean, up from 0.25% in March 22 to 5%. I mean, look at this, from 0.25 to 5% in June 2023. And that's why last year we had sort of an anemic year. But then redistributive taxes, policies, rising construction costs, permit delays, challenging building codes, that's not it. Then we were no longer allowed to have foreign investment. We had relatively weak pre-sales demand this whole year. The summer was anemic in pre-sales. Higher infrastructure levies, supply chain issues, financing climate, construction liens, work stoppages, tax arrears, my God. You know, if you're a developer, no wonder you can't sleep.
Well, absolutely. You know, and like you say, the government, there's so many different ways they're taxing people and penalizing. They're not incentivizing anybody to go forward and take risks anymore. And that's where a big challenge is, I believe.
Well, and that's what people don't understand. You know, the developer's seen as this big guy or big girl. They're taking a risk all the time, and the investor takes a risk with them. I mean, you know, now we should maybe explain, we always talk about insolvency and receivership. If you're insolvent, it just means what it means for you and me too. If I don't pay my bills, I'm insolvent, I'm no longer solvent. But when you are in a mega problem you haven't paid for a while, then the creditors go to court and they get an order and to appoint a receiver. And a receiver sort of looks at the whole thing and says, let's sell some of this and let's do, you know, I'm trying to get the investors their money back. So now, Tony Quarton, who is a long-term vice chair of CBRE Limited, the premier commercial company in Vancouver, he said, I have never seen so many receivership in one cycle, and I still think there's more to come.
Well, you know, then that's a very interesting point. I remember years ago, Lee Iacocca came to BC to speak to developers, and they said, "You guys are a funny bunch. You'll build and build and build and build. And I think I've said this before, and you'll build and build and build and build until you create your own recession." You know, and I mean, let's face it, when times are good, you start building, you start buying the land, you start, but there's a time lag between the time you buy it, the time you get your
Huge.
permits, the time you start building it, the time you pre-sale everything. And so you're taking a big risk. Some of these projects are 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, maybe even longer. And so, you know, you're hoping for a stable government, a stable conditions of the marketplace. And we've had a lot of instability, and we've had a lot of, like you said earlier, a lot of this government interference. Government interference is hurting a lot of developers, and it's hurting a lot of families in Canada and British Columbia.
Well, what is annoying is, and you can't blame government for everything, but what is annoying is that, we're being blamed. They're always saying, well, it's the owners, so let's, zap the landlords, right? So nobody
Right.
wants to be a landlord anymore. I've never seen so many landlords. You go to Facebook and take a look at the landlord, file or Facebook club, and there's horror stories in there. They can't get the tenant out. They can't, and the tenant from hell know what to do, right? And it takes months and months. And so they're all selling and they don't want to buy. And then at the same time, realtors don't want to show a rental unit because of all the onerous requirements or notice requirements and so on. And the buyer needs to move next month. But going back to Tony, he also said that his team worked on about 11 real estate receivership already this year. Now, okay. But he said, compared to just three or four in the aftermath of 2007 or 2008, and he says this cycle is much more severe. Wow, so now you swallow hard and you say, well, I mean, who is this guy? Because you think that he's sort of an off-site kind of a developer. But listen, what amazes me, one of my one of my realtor friends tells me is that Daljit Singh was named to the Order of British Columbia in August 2023, just over a year ago. And Janet Austin, the Lieutenant Governor, wrote, "The accomplishments have led an indelible mark on their communities, and sowing legacies will impart our province to the benefit of future generations." So we're not talking about some yokel going broke. He was well-recognized. They built over 1,000 units. He was really the quality builder, he was, he built good stuff, right? So now
Absolutely.
my friend says, he thinks he single-handedly has eroded confidence in an already shaky pre-sale market. Now I don't know whether that's true, but that just starts to wonder. This is not just sort of some guy. Now he had a mortgage with Kingsett Mortgage Company, and they filed two recent petitions in Supreme Court, and they say they owe $300 million, right? Wow, unless 1,800 units. That's big bucks.
You know, you're right. I mean, does it shake the confidence of, yes, it does, absolutely shakes it. You know, but it really lends to what you're saying earlier. There's 11 of these now where there was three during the world co market collapse, you know. And so, I mean, this is an insight of a problem in Canada, both Toronto and Vancouver. You know, I mean, first of all, a supply problem, a confidence problem. I mean, you know, the foreign buyers were a big buyer, you know, and they were originally, right? Oh, it's them, it's there. That's what's driving up real estate market. So guess what? Our BC government got rid of the foreign buyers. Our Canadian government said no more to the foreign buyers. And guess what? Prices did not drop, right? You know, it
But
wasn't
no
that.
houses were built either.
Well, that's the problem, right? Exactly right. And you need that confidence. You need somebody backing the system before it'll go ahead. Then we started blaming the investors. Well, like you said, you know, investors started feeling, well, why am I doing this? I'm being penalized as a landlord. I'm being criticized as a person that's supplying rental ownership for people, right? I mean, you're creating a supply of rentals. And our government needs that. I mean, the mom and pop are some of the largest. It's not these big corporations that are supplying all of this product, although there's a few, but it's really the mom and pops that bought, you know, that school teacher, she bought an extra home, she rented it out, she wanted to, you know, subsidize your income. Yeah. If you don't work for the government, Aussie, you know, you don't get a pension. So buying an extra property is a good idea, to have one extra property so that when you retire, maybe you
it can, was a good idea.
Well, it was a good idea, and it still is. But, you know, the reality of it is people are getting penalized. You know, when people are, you know, no wonder people have to sell if they're still getting $1,100 a month rent for something that should be $2,500, you know, and they can't raise it more than 2% or 3%. Or no. Sometimes with the NDP government, they put a stop on that for 2 or 3 years. It was supposed to be 2 or 3% above inflation. And then they said, well, hang on, inflation's too high, we won't allow you to do that. And then
well, that's right. They're always against the owners. And I know, talking to an owners association in the interior, and they're saying, look, you know, our costs are up 7% across the board. But what we can raise the rent on is less than 3%. And then we have to be exact. And remember, all owners, you have to go to the website, because you have to give it exactly 3 months. And the month starts really the next month and so on. We talked about that before. Right. But, you know, the big thing, I always look at these things, you know, how bad is it? I mean, last year we had Coromandel Properties. That was a $700 million in debt, some 16 projects, and they sought creditor protection, meaning that we can't pay you, but, you know, don't want to give you anything either right now. We want to work this out, right? But that was right. February 2023, and the interesting thing that had happened there was a whole bunch of the creditors, and they all got together, and they started to work things out. There was a project that they had, I don't need to mention the name, but it was supposed to be an $80 million deal, but they sold it for $68 million. So they took a little bath on it, but so gradually they worked it out. And I think that right now, the rest of the properties they worked, I don't really know, but I right. think we haven't heard from them. But that was a big newsmaker too, like this one is. What we have this time, as you and I talked about before, you've got water stock properties in Surrey's South End, and Stories newspaper, they say that there's sort of a South End village master plan for Surrey is now also owing some two mortgages of about $60 million. They have been, you know, going looking under the receivership thing. Now, Duck Island, which is actually the house of the Richmond night market, is subject to a $90 million foreclosure, and that according to the Vancouver Sun. And so you add them all together and you say, my God, you know, there's a lot more stress in the system than we know about.
Well, you're right. You know, one of the things I always remember, and I've always found it to be, again, I say, you should read the book, but you don't have to read the book, because you can read it by the cover. Your book, forget about location, location, location. It's timing, timing, timing. You couldn't summarize a book better than that by its cover, by its title, because, you know, you've got some of these developers that have been in there and they've been going through this cycle and they've been hit hard in these cycles. Now you've got new developers that are just coming up and they're looking at opportunities and saying, well, those guys went bankrupt and it used to be 80, now it's 68 million, you know, or even smaller projects they're taking on. So, you know, it's about timing, 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 because some of these developers, great developers, very prestigious developers being recognized by our government of changing neighborhoods and patterns, and here they are in trouble right now. And new developers are coming up and saying, hey, there's an opportunity here. But of course, you know, it's kind of like the stock market. I guess some people think things are going up and some people are thinking they're going down. And so they're both investing with different styles, I suppose.
Well, the part of the reason, of course, is that when you read some of those papers, and like I said, the Sun reported it, Business in Vancouver, Stories, the National Post, and so these are not things that we know firsthand. We are reading it like all of our viewers are right. looking at. But I was reading in one of them that you had this loan started at 5/prime. So if prime was, you know, 7.5 or 8, then that's a 13% loan. Now, for you and I being around 30 years ago, it's quite normal. But for us in this environment, when it was, you know, like, you know, we went to from 0.25 to 5, and now it's 13, but they all had a rider in them. So if you miss a payment, it might go to 16. And some of these mortgages went to 20%. Well, at 20% interest. Now, here's one was owned $146 million, and the interest is accruing at $42,902 a day.
Gosh.
You know, so you're sitting there in your office as a developer and saying, no, how am I ever getting myself out of that? Now, the $305 million that's owed is $99,431 a day accruing, right? So, I mean, I think both of the, I'm not talking about these lenders, but as a lender and as an owner of the money, at 99,000 a day in 30 days, hello, it just keeps on building. You can't breathe anymore. You can't, you know, this. How the hell am I ever going to get out from underneath that?
Like, and who's, you know, I mean, is there an advantage for them foreclosing? Because sometimes they're not going to get their money any faster. And you may want to negotiate or rework the project with these people, because that could be stuck for 2 years now in trouble and trying to figure out how do you go through the process in this situation.
Well, the crazy thing is that King said, which is the mortgage company, and they're a big, big outfit, they now halted the distributions and redemption on their $1.9 billion flagship fund. So that's the result. Is, you know, I mean, it's not, there's no angels here and no villains. You know, I mean, you don't pay me, I can't pay my, so huge amount of people are covered. I mean, we just had a lawsuit from a realtor to Synth for $800,000 in commission. Well, you can imagine if they pre-sold 90% of 1,100 units, he won't be the only one that is not going to get his or her commission, right? So what about the engineers and BC Housing and all of this? There's about $12 million owed to them. And so what the receiver does, he's saying, okay, well, you get spent so much on the dollar or whatever, but they have to really make a decision. So it's not a happy time for anybody that's involved. No. But, you know,
I remember, Ozzy, you had warned me years ago about this big project, a high rise that was being built. And you said, if you have any friends that are building in there, tell them to get their tools out, you know, because they're going to lock them out. And, you know, so it affects people working on there. It affects all the small guys that are investing in the mortgage company, hurting the mortgage company, hurting the, you know, it's so much of a gamut across the economy. It's crazy.
Well, and then so you say, well, you're always high on real estate. Well, we always high on our principles, right? Is the inflation? Yes, and it's kind of interesting that this week all of the numbers in the United States are going up as far as inflation is concerned. Now, it doesn't seem like much, 0.2, but hey, if we had 2.4, then we had 2.3, and then 2.2, and then we stayed at 2.2, and then we went to 2.3, and now we went the second month in a row to 0.4, then that makes a difference, right? So we now have in December 11 in Canada, and on the 18th in the United States, we have another interest rate day, right? And so not holding my breath for the United States that they actually certainly will not go down 0.5% like some people are saying. But they may even reconsider the quota. You know, so because their economy is strong, you know, their unemployment rate is just over 4%. We are at 6.5%. It's almost like we're decoupling. And so the point I'm trying to make is, and I'm not making it well fast enough, but inflation is a given. Timing is not a given from our point of view. I think right through North America, right? So the world is sort of taken a deep breath, and everybody is waiting what Trump is going to do or not going to do. I wrote in my newsletter that came out last weekend that I felt Trump is not going to interfere with all of our industries as on the tariff thing. There were headlines, he's going to put 25% on everything. That's horseshit. Excuse me.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a car industry. The U.S. has a car industry. They're married. You can't put a tariff on them. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. He's going to say, okay, we're going to waive that one, and we're going to do this one, and this one we're not going to do. But as any good negotiator goes, you make the lowest offer first, or as if you're a seller, you make the highest threat first, and then you work it down, right? Isn't it interesting that even though he's not president yet, Hezbollah agreed to a ceasefire? Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, so you look that within a week, things are changing. And I think that's what the public wanted. We wanted a strong guy. There was no doubt about it. America first. I mean, with us, with our prime minister, we're not sure who is first for. I think it's the world and maybe getting a Nobel Prize. I don't know what it is, but it's not Canada first.
Pensions for the people that are in the parliament, and
Yeah,
we're supposed to be
do you
working
see?
exactly. We're supposed to work for the people, not for them, their people. And the rest of us that are self-employed or whatever the case is, investors, they're not getting pensions generally. And if you don't work for a company that's a government, your pensions aren't guaranteed all the time either. So, they're definitely not working for the people of Canada, let's suggest.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. They say, "Oh, his personality." Well, he look at what he does, right? Don't look at what he says. Yeah. So he could. There's sometimes some tweets came out and thought, "Why do you have to do that?" Didn't. But the point is, he's black and white. Close the border. Saying, "Well, now he says that." No. He said that in 2016. His biggest fight was he wanted to build a wall. It was everywhere. He was gonna build a wall, and they laughed at him. And he said, "Look, in Israel, they built a wall and they stopped their massive immigration and stopped their threats and crime and whatnot." Anyways, the point is, it's an exciting world we live in, and sometimes on the developer side right now, it's not that exciting because I think many people are now maybe worried that will those deals still be there. I
Absolutely.
still believe though that in the long run, we will real estate as a hard asset will keep inflating. Whereas commodities, sorry, which is an economic asset, when copper goes down and all that goes down, that is a we could actually go have an economic deflation in those areas, which we had together with an hard asset inflation, which we had in the 2014 to 2016 period. That's possible, right? So, but hard asset that I see in real estate will do well. But now is the time to be extremely cautious.
Well, and you're right. What we're going to see here, I believe, while they have the uncertainty and these big companies go and some of the smaller companies going backwards, I talked about a friend that's got, losing $100,000 a month. That's not every day, obviously, like some of these guys, but this is devastating, for a developer that was supposed to be doing a project and now the deal isn't coming together, for example. So this is a large amount of money. So a lot of these developers are pulling back and they're holding back. So in 5 years from now, we're not going to have a supply. So what we're doing today is going to be affecting us tomorrow for sure. And our government wants us to have all these builds. Trudeau's promised we're going to have all these builds, these new builds. Our construction is down. So I mean, you can't penalize the investors, you can't penalize the developers, and you can't penalize the people or tax them to death and expect to be able to reach your goals. It just doesn't work that way. So I think that in a long run, investing in real estate hard assets, like you say, it's inflationary and everything else, it's going to do well. And we're going to have an undersupply. So we're going to see prices go up in time. Right now, there's some opportunities. For example, I'll give you an idea. So if you were buying in Surrey, for example, I'm just going to talk about condos for a second, but the most active condo price range is $300,000 to $400,000. There's still condos in the $300,000 to $400,000 range in Surrey. For example, there's 75 active listings, Aussie. There's 17 sales. So three quarters of them still aren't selling. Almost actually four fifths of them are not selling in today's market. So one out of five are selling. So I mean, if you think about it, 23% actually. So one out of four. But there's 75 available for between $300,000 and $400,000. That's pretty good. Where you're having more difficulty selling some of the stuff, if you're in the $600,000 to $700,000 price range, there's 236 units available, and there's a 35 sales. So that's about 15%. So it drops off by another 10%. So there's a lot of product out there right now that's for sale. We've said that October sales are up, but overall for the 10-year period, they're up over last year, and you and I know how poor the market was last year. So for it, it's like going 20 miles an hour. Now we're going 30, and we think we're speeding.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. No, but the point you're making is excellent because whatever we are not building won't be competing with all the units that we that come into market. Like I'm invested in a high rise in Surrey. It's called the Flamingo, and I expect to take delivery of my condo sometime next year, maybe in May or June or something like that, as our 350 other investors.
Right.
And we paid an average, when we bought, well, I think we paid around $850 or something. So, and as far as square footages go, right now, some markets are in the 1200 or higher, or Metro Town 1400 and higher. That's yeah. where, you know, so that's where, as when I talk about deals or stink bits and all that, you figure out what it is that you want. If you want to buy a house for yourself, now's the time to look, no doubt about it. Yeah. And then you know, I mean, and get yourself a variable for a year and then lock it in when rates hopefully have come down to that much, much predicted 3.5% rate. But even today, you can still get a 4.1% 5-year term. You know, it's, and that's not the end of the world, right? And so if it's my home, and as an investor, I have the choice to look around, stay back, make an offer. You know, you don't have to, like fighting a duel with a sword, you attack and you parry, you attack and you parry. You don't, maybe nobody wins, but right now you're just holding off because we're living in very uncertain times. And this week was not a good week for real estate investors and developers.
No, I like your analogy though, stab and pull back, because other people are stabbing too. They wrote a lowball offer. Okay, somebody else writes the lowball offer. Sooner or later, the owner realizes maybe that's the value, you know, because that's what buyers are willing to pay. I mean, you know, I always tell my sellers, you know, the market will tell you what's going on out there. And they say, well, just because that's what the buyer is willing to pay, that doesn't mean that's what I'm willing to sell for. However, if you're a seller, and that's what the market will pay, well, that's what the market will pay. You know, you definitely negotiate, as we always do, when we're working for the seller, to negotiate the best price. But I often tell my customers, you know, this is the best we can get from these particular buyers. We have to make a decision. Is it enough for you? Or do you say, Brent, get off your bum and go find somebody with more money? You know, and hopefully, you know, depending on the market conditions, there's another buyer that will pay you more money later. And I've seen a lot of times over the past several months that people are coming in with lower offers and people reducing them and reducing their price to less money than they previously had accepted offers for.
Well, the other thing is too, you look at the deal that you want to make an offer on. He just bought it 6 months ago. Well, you can make any lowball offer you want. He's not going to take it, right? But maybe he's been there for 10 years and he paid $700,000 and now he's asking $2 million. Well, maybe he can say, okay, I'll take $1.7 million. He's still a hero in his own mind. I mean, look at we did, how well we did. So the point is, you got to be reasonable too. A lot of the deals that where somebody paid this kind of money, I know people that paid $600,000 a year ago and now can't get $520,000. It's possible, right? It's just the market is the market, unfortunately. But as we keep saying, that's why you need a professional realtors. And you have a lot of them in Vancouver. And hey, as we discussed last week, I got a lot of calls on, is it really 8% of all the realtors in Toronto quit? Well, yeah, it's not really that much. I mean, I remember years when half the Vancouver Island realtors walked. You know, it's normal if the market has changed. The key is that we are in a long-term market. We live in the best environment in the world. The whole offices of our immigration offices around the world are full of people that want to be here. And we are here, and we're complaining. We have no right to.
We're very fortunate.
Take care, Matt. See you next week.
Thanks, Ozzie.